Thank you, Gary.
As the children make their way downstairs, I just want to bring to your attention before we move into the message this morning, just a loss that we have suffered this week here at Tapestry. One of our regular attenders, and I know some of you know him, Kevin Reeves, a good friend of Rob and Caroline Scott, a co-worker with Rob. Kevin would sit back here with the Scotts regularly here in church. He was in a small group that I led for a season. Faithful, regular attender here. Kevin passed away of a massive heart attack on Friday during a team-building exercise in Charlotte, North Carolina, with the company that he works for. I think Kevin was maybe 55 years old. Just tragic. Wonderful human being, and he will be missed. I'm thankful for really the opportunity that God gave us to get to know Kevin, and the opportunity that he had here just to be part of this community and to just soak in the gospel. And so we celebrate his life, and we celebrate the fact that he is at home with the Lord right now, and we just acknowledge how fragile life is. I can remember Sunday before last, before we were heading to Guatemala, he was at church and said, you know, hey, I'll be praying for you on the trip. So it's a reminder that you may be here today, you may not be here next Sunday. And so it really does give us all a wake-up call to the reality of how important it is not to just be here, but to acknowledge who Christ is and to embrace Him in all that He is and the salvation that He offers. So we pray, and I would ask for you to please pray for Kevin's family. I think they're in Massachusetts, if I understand correctly, and likely the service will be there. But keep them in your prayers. Good to be back from Guatemala. Good to be in the saddle again. As is typical for me, I typically bring a little bit back from mission trips that I don't want to share with you guys. So excuse me today if my voice kind of runs a little dry in the process. But man, what a trip. Our team did a phenomenal job, just a great team working with the kids. We worked with children in two of the more remote schools in Vista Hermosa, two schools that we had not visited before, and just connected with those kids and had a fantastic time. We did some leadership training, following up on our servant leadership training last year. And the ladies on the trip did a women's workshop, which was just phenomenal, just reinforcing the value and the worth of these ladies in Guatemala, which is more of a very patriarchal type of a culture. And our ladies just did a phenomenal job of just pouring into them. But more than anything else, it was really just a week of developing deeper relationships with the people in Vista Hermosa. And I honestly don't think we could have had a better trip. It was fantastic. Couple of us got a little sick along the way and were fighting some things, but God took care of us. And so for all of you who contributed financially to this endeavor at our mission queue, for all of you who prayed faithfully for the team to make this trip possible, we just want to thank you. And we want to thank you for your investment in what God is doing through Tapestry around the globe. We certainly could not do it without you. And it is, it's a family endeavor. We are all part of this thing, and God is using each of us in different ways to take the gospel to the world. On another mission note, an exciting note, we just found out this week that our partner community in Haiti Shadrach. We'll be the first 410 Bridge community. 410 Bridge is our mission partner there. We'll be the first 410 Bridge community in Haiti to graduate as a self-sustained community. And so, we've been partnered and covenanted with that community in Haiti. We were the first church to partner in Haiti with 410 Bridge, and Shadrach was the first community. And we were there and have been there for about 7 years. And what that essentially means is that 410 Bridge will kind of be backing off these people, their leadership council, and just the continuity of the community is able to move forward in and of themselves. And so we won't be sending teams back there on a regular basis, but we will be attending a graduation ceremony in February. For those of you who've been to Shadrach, which I think we've sent about 70 of our folks there. Could I have that water, Kim? But we'll be going to a graduation ceremony there in February. So if you're interested in going over for a few days to participate in that, just let us know. We're going to begin a new series today. As you can see behind me, the series is entitled Hashtag Relationship Goals. The first time I ever saw that term, you know, I'm on social media. I'm pretty savvy, if I do say so myself. What do you think, Adrian? Not really? Yeah, okay. Now, I'm really not very savvy. I play around with it, make a fool of myself a lot. But the first time I ever saw this particular term, hashtag relationship goals, was on Instagram when one of Rachel's friends hashtagged a picture of our family while we were in Athens doing something. It was one of those highlight reel pictures, you know. You never put pictures of you and your family on social media that would not be in a good light. So, you know, it was us having a blast, looking like we were on top of the world, you know, just a total, you know, sham. So it's a highlight reel picture, but that hashtag, she puts it on here. It was Sydney. I remember her doing that. She was like, hey, hashtag relationship goals. I was like, well, that's interesting. And it got me thinking, honestly, you know, knowing that probably 5 minutes after that picture was taken, we read each other's throats, you know. But it got me thinking about the real substance of relationship. And not just the social media aspect of relationship. And it got me thinking about the relational goals that we should have in our lives that would really please and honor God. And so I kind of banked this idea for this series probably about 6 months ago. And so now it's come to fruition. But during this series, over the next 5 or 6 weeks, we're going to look at God's design for our relationship, first and foremost with Him, for our relationship with our friends. What does that look like and what does God have to say about that? For our relationship with our family, you know, you can choose your friends, but what? Can't choose your family. So different dynamic there. How do we operate in that context? And then we're going to take 2 weeks to look at God's design for the relationship of marriage. And I'd like to use those messages on marriage really as a springboard for our married couples here at Tapestry to connect to a re-engage group. Stephen was sharing a little bit about that. Groups that are going to be here at Tapestry beginning at the end of August for married couples. And so whether your marriage is in trouble, whether you're just treading water, or whether your marriage is good and it's thriving right now, re-engage is for you. Re-engage will serve to take your marriage to a new level no matter where it currently is. Our families are only as strong as our marriages are, and so I'd like to see as many of our married couples get involved with Kim and I in this new ministry here at Tapestry. We're going to be approaching it as an outreach to couples in the community, so I want to encourage you to invite your friends to join you for Reengage, anybody who wants to make their marriage better. You can sign up, get more details out front. I apologize. It sounds like I'm going to struggle this morning. Bear with me. The need for relationship, which is what we're going to be talking about, is hardwired into every human being. God has put it in the depth of our DNA. We were created to relate. We're relational beings as human beings, regardless of our personality type, regardless of whether we're introverts or extroverts or anywhere in between. God has created all of us to be relational beings. Genesis 1 tells us that God created man in his own image. Male and female, he created each of us. God is a relational God. He created us first and foremost to relate to him, to acknowledge him, and to bring glory and honor to him. The Westminster Confession says that the chief end of man, the chief purpose of man, is to glorify God, to be in a relationship with him, and to express worth to our sovereign Creator. So from Genesis to Revelation, the Bible is the story of God pursuing us relationally. Did you realize that? From the very beginning, from Genesis to Revelation, the Bible is an epic story of God's pursuit of us. Those of you who were here last week, I think, heard Jerry preach on that. The pursuing God. God created Adam, the first human, and he said, if you'll remember, it's not good for the man to be what? Alone. It's not good for the man to be alone. We were created to relate, not to isolate. It's not good for the man to be alone. God designed us. He designed us mind, body, and soul to be in relationship with him and with one another. But when we close ourselves off relationally, studies show we suffer. We suffer emotionally. We suffer physically. And we suffer spiritually. It's interesting. I was doing some research on that this week. And having discovered that 20% of their population reported to be often or always lonely. 20%, one in five people in the United Kingdom reported to be often or always lonely. They announced earlier this year, the United Kingdom did, the creation of a new government position, and it's called the Minister for Loneliness. It's an actual government role and position, the Minister of Loneliness, because they were discovering the detrimental effects that loneliness was having on their society, the health of their society, and just the general well-being of the people in the United Kingdom. The whole purpose of the Minister for Loneliness is to connect people relationally and to create opportunities for people to connect. A 2012 study in the U.S. found that 43% of adults over 60, almost half of the adults over 60, experienced frequent or intense loneliness. Other studies show the clear connection between social isolation and declining health. From a marked increase in high blood pressure and cardiovascular disease to a vulnerable immune system. Loneliness kills. A lack of relationship destroys us. A recent college study revealed that students with both high levels of loneliness and a small social network had the weakest immune systems. We're sick all the time. There's a clear connection between having healthy relationships and being a healthy human being. God designed us that way. He designed us as relational beings. We were created to relate, not to isolate, regardless, again, of our personality type. We're all created to relate and be in relationship, first and foremost with God and then with one another. From the fall in Genesis 3, when Adam's rebellion fractured his and our relationship with the Father, until today, God has relentlessly pursued a relationship with each one of us, to the point of sending his own son, Jesus, as a sacrifice to bridge that relational gap. 53 times in the New Testament, we find the words one another, love one another, encourage one another, spur one another on. One another's can only happen in community. They can only happen in relationship. One another's don't occur in isolation. Now, anything you see repeated in the Scripture over and over and over again, God is emphasizing. And when we see something repeated 53 times just in the New Testament, boy, God's trying to get a message across to us. One another, one another. I created you to live in community with one another. I created you as relational beings to relate to one another. You know, it's fascinating in this age of social media where people have countless digital friends and thousands of likes that loneliness is at an all-time high. Healthy relationships do not develop at a distance, and they do not develop digitally alone. Healthy relationships develop as the one another's that God shares with us in the New Testament are exchanged together. That's why the first key to developing healthy relationships, and I want to share four keys in the remaining time that we have to developing healthy relationships. Four keys that I believe that we can draw from the life of Jesus while he was on this earth and his desire to reconcile our relationship with the Father. But the first key to developing healthy relationships is this: be around. Say what? Be around. Prioritize proximity. You hear what I'm saying? Prioritize proximity. The Lord said it is not good for man to be alone. And then the writer of Hebrews says this: let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. Now the writer of Hebrews there is talking about church. But it's not just church. It could be in any social sphere. Be around. Show up. If you want to develop healthy relationships, you've got to show up consistently for and in those relationships. How many of you have friends that never show up? I do. I've got friends, I can tell you, man, we're going to invite these people and we're going to do this and we're going to do that. And I can tell you, these three, they won't show up. Because they're known for not showing up. Let me tell you something. If you want healthy relationships, if you want to develop relationships with other people, the first thing you got to do is you got to be around. You got to prioritize proximity. You got to put some other things aside and prioritize relationship with other people, or it will not happen. And that's why the writer of Hebrews says, don't give up meeting together. That's not just church. That's anything. That's friends showing up at neighborhood functions, showing up wherever, going to ball games, doing it. Keep showing up. If you want to develop healthy relationships, you got to be around other people. God created us to relate, not what? Isolate. The writer of Hebrews understood that for relationship and community to flourish, you've got to be present. Relationships don't develop from a distance. They can't. Great relationships are formed when we're committed to being around other people consistently. That's why showing up at your small group, showing up at church consistently is so important. That's why showing up everywhere in the areas of your life that you can foster relationship consistently is so very important. Whether you feel like it or not, whether you're having a good day or a bad day, whether it's convenient or inconvenient, we're in such a convenience-oriented, comfort-centered culture today that if I don't feel like it, I'm just not going to do it. And let me tell you something, your relationship, if that's your attitude and you see that in your life more than you see, I'm going to push past not feeling like it because I want to get to know these people better. If you see that, you will not develop healthy relationships. If it's about convenience and comfort, it just will not happen. Showing up is half the battle in developing healthy relationships. Jesus prioritized proximity in his pursuit of you and I. Think about it. Jesus set heaven aside to be with us, to become one of us, to live among us, to show us how to relate to one another in a healthy way. Man, get around some good folks consistently if you want to develop healthy relationships. It takes time. It takes humility. It takes patience. It takes putting up with people's junk. And it takes people putting up with your junk to develop healthy relationships. But you got to show up. You got to be around folks for that to happen. The best friendships that I have on this planet, you guys have heard me say this for years, the best friendships that I have in my life were developed sitting in a circle in a small group. 25 years I've been committed to being in a small group. And I cannot tell you how many times I didn't want to show up. Oh, goodness gracious. But let me tell you, that's how relationships happen. When you're willing to show up, put up with, be put up with, and stay in the game. The best friends I have today, all of them, were developed in the context of a small group. Prioritize proximity. Be around people regularly. Same people. And then you want to show them that you care. So be around. And number two, be attentive. Pay attention to people. Jesus said, indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Some of you are like, man, I'm losing my numbers. Getting easier and easier for Jesus to know. Yeah, paint by number. Three. Man, God loves us and He knows us intimately, inside and out. That's what that expresses. If you want to develop healthy relationships, pay attention to other people. Get outside of yourself for a little while. Remember their names. And when we were in Guatemala, one of the most difficult things, you know, this is my third trip there, so I've met a lot of people. All they had to do was remember my name, you know, basically. But I've got to remember all these names, and you know, they're not names that I'm familiar with. But I'll tell you what, when you get out of that van in that village and you look at somebody and you say, hey, Doris, or hey, Wilfred, what? It blows them away. Just knowing somebody's name, calling them by name makes a difference. Listen more than you speak in relationships. I have difficulty with that. Ask good questions. Ask good questions. You know, I got several people in my life that I just sit back at in awe. It just seems to come natural to them. They ask the best questions. You enter, hey, I want you to meet a friend of mine. And then they just take off. I mean, they're asking questions about their life. And before long, they know more about your friend than you did. Ask good questions. It breaks down walls and draws people in. Be curious. You know, that's what I told our team in Guatemala this year. Be curious. Don't stand back. We got translators. If you've got a question about something, engage with the people there. Just be curious. It breaks down walls. Be interested in other people. That's how relationships develop. When we get beyond ourselves, when we get beyond our own little worlds, and pay attention to other people. Paul put it this way in Philippians 2, one of my favorite passages, the kenosis passage. He said, do nothing out of selfish ambition. Don't be all about you or vain conceit. But in humility, power under control, consider other people better than you. Each of you should look not only to your own interest, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. In other words, step out of your world and into someone else's world. Be attentive. Be interested in other people. That's how relationships develop. Man, that's the story of the encounters you see in the New Testament between Jesus and other people. He's interested. He's attentive. It's clear to them that he cares about them. What's the biggest enemy of being attentive? Certainly in our culture today, busyness. Busyness. We hydroplane through life. We hydroplane through relationships. The reality is a rolling stone gathers no moss, nor does it gather deep relationships. When we move too fast, relationships don't have time to develop. And so slow down. Slow down. Pay attention to other people. Be interested in their lives. And watch what God will begin to do to foster new relationships in your life. Be around. Prioritize proximity. Be attentive. And be authentic. Be real. Be real. It's so easy for us to try to put up a front and make people think that we're something we're not. And the reality is, they're going to see through it in time anyway. So just be authentic. John put it this way. He said, if we walk in the light, authenticity before God, if we walk in truth in who He created us to be, as Jesus is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And Jesus is the most authentic person to ever walk the face of the earth. What you see is what you get with Jesus. He was real. The ultimate reality. Under every circumstance and under every life situation. From great joy to extreme suffering. He was real. Kim and I are, and have been, along with Gary and Judith McLaughlin, in a pilot group for this Re-Engage marriage ministry. And we've been walking through the materials. Just phenomenal. It's just been a great experience for us. We wanted to do it before we led you all in it. And we're with eight other couples. We meet on Monday nights here at the church. Eight other couples that we didn't know before this group started. It's amazing how quickly you can get to know other people when you're willing to come out of hiding and tell the truth. The good, the bad, the ugly about who you are and in this situation about where your marriage is. And authenticity fosters healthy relationships. The biblical word for fellowship is koinonia. And it literally means an intimate, unhindered relationship. When Adam sinned and fell from the garden, when he disobeyed God, he fell out of koinonia with the Father. When Jesus came, he restores us in that koinonia, that perfect, unhindered relationship with God. And that only occurs when we're willing to be real with other people in relationship, when we're willing to allow them in, when we want to know them and we allow them to know us. You know, some of you have been hurt in relationship. And one of the main reasons that people back away from relationship and isolate is because they've been hurt. They've been burned. Man, that's our natural reaction. And many of you, all of us, to some degree, have been there. And what we can do is we can build long-standing walls because of that hurt to keep other people at a distance so we won't be hurt again. I want to challenge you. No matter where you are with those walls, if they're just knee-high or if, man, you're just encased in them, man, allow the Lord to lower those walls and to heal those wounds. And invite others into that process and watch what He will do in your life relationally. And we all need relationships. And finally, as we pursue those relationships, man, be encouraging. Be encouraging. Paul said, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up. I've yet to meet a person who doesn't respond well to encouragement. Encouragement says, I'm for you. It says, I recognize the good in you. I think you've got what it takes. It's amazing what courage can do in someone's life and the encouragement that they receive from someone else. Encouragement literally means you're just pouring courage into other people. And it's transformational. It really is. One of our main focuses in Guatemala was to encourage the leaders in that community to continue to serve and to love like Jesus. And many of them, when we got there, they were tired. They were weary. And some of them were ready to give up. But through the encouragement that the team brought to these folks across the board and our willingness to build them up, and you could just sense a deeper relational thing happening between us and them. Just because we were willing to pour ourselves and to pour courage into them. It's a universal bridge, encouragement is, for developing relationships. Let me ask you something. Who can you encourage today? And we ought to be waking up every morning and asking ourselves that question. It is that important. Who can I encourage today? And let me challenge you. Begin with those closest to you. We all need encouragement. We were created to relate, not to isolate, and to foster those healthy relationships, prioritize proximity, be around other people consistently, be attentive, be authentic, be encouraging, be intentional about fostering and deepening relationships in your life. Because that's God's design. And He's modeled that for each of us in sending Christ to bring us back into relationship with Him. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for loving us. We thank You for pursuing us. We thank You that You're a relational God and that You created us as relational beings. I pray, Father, that no matter where we find ourselves this morning in the relational sphere, Father, whether we're relating or whether we're isolating, I pray that You would draw us, each of us, to a deeper place relationally, first and foremost with You, and then, Lord, intentionally with others. Lord, You don't just give us physical life, but You give us spiritual life. And our relationships feed our spirit. And Lord, as we continue to move through this series, I pray that You would grow each of us in that area of our lives. And Lord, You would continue to make us more and more like Jesus. And I pray that in His powerful name. Amen.